WildTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to The Rock of Talk.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rock.
Since I have been on this earth, I have done a lot of horrible things to a lot of good people. And I'm man enough to admit when I am in the wrong. And I was wrong about you, Brian. I viewed you as this minuscule little creature chasing this uphill war that you could never win. I saw you busy chasing your little girlfriend around on television, buying a diamond. How long are you willing to live this life? How long until they discover that your dirty little feet are soiling their red carpet?
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
Being a scientist is really starting to pay off. A lot of people don't know about that, but being a scientist and being a pro wrestler at the same time, hypothesis, conclusion, same thing. He's a myth, and I'm getting to the bottom of it. I'm like Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes was half detective, half scientist. He's science to figure out cases. Maybe when I get done with pro wrestling, I can be like new Sherlock Holmes, but in real life, where I solve cases using my science.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin'.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Radio.com. One of my favorite songs bringing us in for the evening. I don't know what made the producer pick it, but well done. I am, of course, the host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my pod producer, Sir Rockin.
I knew you liked the song, and I had no other thoughts for music, so I figured, hey, why not?
Hey, you know what? I have no qualms with it whatsoever, and of course, you know, we also have no qualms with the folks over at Memorabilia Lane, memlanepromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. And, well, we've kind of got a stacked show again. Sorry. You know, we're going to stop doing this after this week. Maybe. Kind of. Sort of. Not really.
Not really, because Mania's in 2 weeks. So you...
Yeah, Mania's in 2 weeks. So, yeah, again, y'all, so incredibly sorry. But, yeah, for those of you that aren't aware, that live under a rock, don't follow us on Twitter or Facebook, which, why don't you? Well, I got the personal pleasure of interviewing one of my all-time favorite artists. And, you know, he just happens to do wrestling, which is even better. We got to talk to the wonderful Rob Schomburger, so we're going to be having him later in the show. But, you know, we've also got, of course, tonight's exciting Impact. We've got NXT, and, well, we've got news, too. Lots and lots and lots of news. So I sit here and work on something, actually, for someone because of the news. Because, you know, he can't tell me things. So, but before we get to all that, we have our question of the night.
Was that a shot at me?
No, that was not a shot at you.
Okay, because I was like, wait, what did I tell you? Anyway,
No, this is not a shot at you. So tell the people the question of the night, and then I'll tell you, you know, who the shot is at.
What did you think of the beatdown of Daniel Bryan this past Monday night on Raw?
Sorry, y'all. We didn't have anything else. We couldn't come up with anything else, so it's like, well, at 11:30 last night, it's like, eh, we'll go with that.
We'll go with that. We got a lot to get into anyhow with that and so much more. And even something you don't even know about for the news.
Mean something. Good Lord, how much news do we have?
We have a lot.
Apparently, well, you know what? Let's just dive into it. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at pwmania.com for all your news needs. And I guess, you know, kind of the biggest news that came out, which, you know, we all figured after last month, is that, of course, Dish Network is not carrying WrestleMania 30. This is continuing the ban after they stopped carrying WWE pay-per-views last month with Elimination Chamber in response to the launch of the WWE Network. Not smart, guys. Just not smart.
No, it's not. And expect probably a lot of publicity from WWE saying, if you are a Dish Network subscriber, subscribe to our network.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. WWE Network just got a lot of new subscribers because, well, you know what? You can get WrestleMania. You can get every pay-per-view. And you don't have to worry about adjusting your satellite dish, which is always a plus.
Which is really also really a big plus about that, yeah.
So, you know, many apologies to the folks that have Dish Network. You know, you can get the WWE Network. You can, of course, buy it, I believe, still on WWE.com. And, well, you can also switch cable providers if you're able, but I wouldn't recommend it. So, you know, Dish just making things even more difficult for WWE fans. I mean, come on, y'all.
Yeah, they're making it awkward and harder for WWE fans to get their pay-per-views, but that's okay. There's the WWE Network, which, again, we are not being paid to endorse, but the WWE Network is kind of awesome. They're even starting to correct some of the Xbox problems.
Yay! Yeah.
If you sign out and update the app or something, you can get the WCW and ECW pay-per-views now on your app. It's under the Vault section. So,
hey, not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all. Now this is where I throw the first curveball at you.
Oh, Lord.
Let's talk about the WWE Network. Last night we had the privilege of watching the other wedding. We watched the Black Wedding 2 weeks ago. This past week we watched the wedding of Test and Stephanie, or should I say, Hunter and Stephanie.
One of the best moments ever.
Because they show the best of Raw every Wednesday. So we get to watch it the night before we do the show, basically as we're show prepping the show.
Which is fantastic. And now that I have my computer working, I can watch it on my TV.
Yes, yes, you can. Know what you also could possibly be watching on your TV here in the near future at some point?
What?
A bunch of reality shows from WWE.
Wait, does this include Legends House?
This does include Legends House, and that does start on April 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern on a Thursday. But no, that's not what I was talking about. But we did get that news. We did get that news bit in. WWE sent out a survey, pitching different reality shows for the network.
Total Wyatts. Total Wyatts. I want it.
Total Wyatts was not on the list, but here are some of them. All right.
Oh, damn it.
Something called Blackman's Bounties, former WWE star and legit badass Steve Blackman's reality series following his bounty hunting team based out of Harrisburg. Think Dog the Bounty Hunter. Not bad.
Eh?
NXT Behind the Scenes, a reality series following the talents trying to make it out of the Performance Center and to the main roster, looking at their work, their personal lives, and the fraternity of the NXT brand, including the heartbreak of being cut. Not bad.
That would be cool.
Pros versus Joes, pretty much like the old Spike TV series, pitting WWE talents against an average person in physical and non-physical challenges. The non-physical challenge listed included an air guitar competition. The physical challenges were described similar to as American Gladiators. That'd be fun. Depending on who they put in there. Imagine Big E versus some people. That'd be funny.
Oh, Lord.
WWE Around the World, following WWE talents taking part in some of the scariest stunts and attractions around the world, such as shark diving and eating strange foods. Sort of like, you know, Off the Hook Extreme Catches with Eric Young. WWE Dirty Jobs. Just like the Discovery Channel's reality series of the same name, WWE talents have to perform unpleasant jobs, including going into Chicago sewers and picking up garbage in New York City.
Do they hate their talent?
Yes, this they do.
That's cruel.
WWE Prankdown, a practical joke show that features WWE talents pulling tricks on unsuspecting superfans. The example given was John Cena and Randy Orton both wanting to buy an expensive car and getting into a fight at the dealership only to show the damage they caused was part of the show to trick the fan.
Oh no. That's dangerous. That's just dangerous.
WWE Rescue, a reality show where WWE talents come to the homes of superfans, help them with their personal and business problems. Think Restaurant Impossible meets 9911.
Yes! Come to my house! Send me Bray Wyatt!
You have some business problems that he needs to help you with.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I need him for reasons, okay? Just send him.
Yes. WWE Ultimate Challenge, WWE's version of The Amazing Race with a 12-hour extreme scavenger hunt in different cities. Now, that'd be cool.
That would be cool.
And finally, Extreme WWE Collector, starring superfan Michael Patterson. Should be starring TJ Omega. Basically, a WWE version of Travel Channel's Toy Hunter, except Patterson is chasing WWE toys and memorabilia. Those are the possible reality shows at some point on the WWE Network that they want to know if fans are actually interested in seeing. I can see a couple of them actually being worthwhile to watch a little bit.
I can too. I mean, they sound interesting for the most part, but I still want Total Wyatts. Still want it. Damn it. But I like the scavenger hunt, and I like the NXT one especially, because I think the NXT one could be really cool.
Yeah, I think it could. I'm with you there.
So, definitely interesting. So, it seems they're expanding their programming, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too, because more program on the network means more things to watch, and it's becoming a thing where Tuesday nights are like filled with watching just the WWE Network for like hours.
Because there's so much stuff.
Right, and it's like I get backlogged on actual other TV. It's like, God, I need a day just to catch up.
Right? Well, it's like Thursday nights too. Good Lord, y'all. Can you jam pack it full of more crap? I mean, wrestling overload. Like, seriously, wrestling overload. Just, you know, putting that out. So, anyway, speaking of wrestling overload and the WWE Network, we're going to kind of move on a little bit. WWE Slam City is now available for your viewing pleasure.
Oh.
Go ahead. Which it is a stop-motion / cartoon-based series in which the WWE superstars get fired from their jobs. Oh, no. And they have to pick up day jobs. And shenanigans ensue. Kane is a cafeteria worker. And he turns Santino into a pizza, which he then feeds to AJ.
Yes, he does. It was kind of special. You go to www.slamcity.com or it's on YouTube and it's available also on demand on the WWE Network as well.
It is, but you know what else is going to be on? Well, not necessarily on demand on the WWE Network, but it probably will be eventually. But what's going to be available on the WWE Network?
What's that?
The WrestleMania pre-show. And you know what, y'all? It's not just 1 hour. It's two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the WWE pre-show is now 2 hours long. So that's 6+ hours of WWE content on WrestleMania Sunday.
Good Lord. It's like, what? 6 hours? 6 hours, dude, because the show is, what, 4 hours long on its own?
6+ hours, because there'll probably be a post-show.
Oh, man. I'm totally going to have to stop and get snacks.
Right? And it's not like I wouldn't be watching the WWE Network all day that day anyhow, just to get into WrestleMania's mode. So now here's 6 hours of live content. The first hour is basically, hey, we want you to buy the network. Cool. Then we get the pre-show, probably with a match, and real hype. And then we're going to WrestleMania.
Which I'm super excited for. But yeah, so they're going all out. You know, like you said, the first hour will be available on YouTube, and I believe the network in the second hour is exclusive to the WWE Network. So if you haven't subscribed yet, if you're interested in subscribing and you have the financial means to do so, go for it.
It's
worth it.
Now, speaking of going to WrestleMania, Lindsay, you can go to WrestleMania if you want to.
I can?
Yes, if you enter Mick Foley's WrestleMania Dream Vacation raffle.
Ooh!
We talked to Rob in a little bit about it, so he'll give you a little bit more into it. But here's all that comes with this raffle. They're $2 per ticket. You have to buy five tickets to be, you know, minimum of five tickets to enter. It's like a 1 in 3,000 chance of winning.
Hmm.
So here's what it all includes, all right?
Okay.
A WrestleMania Dream Vacation for two. This experience includes an exclusive meal hosted by WWE Brie Bella and other surprise divas.
Hey.
Two great seats to WrestleMania, Raw, Hall of Fame, and any session of WrestleMania access. That right there is worth it, isn't it?
Can I go to the one with Bray?
Yeah, you can choose anyone you want.
Yay!
But you would think that's enough, but it's not. You get round-trip airfare.
But wait, there's more?
Oh, a lot more. Round-trip airfare from anywhere in the world for two. Round-trip limo transportation between Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport and the hotel. Four nights at a New Orleans hotel within a mile of the Superdome, arriving Friday and leaving on Tuesday. Single room, double occupancy. Winner and a guest will receive an exclusive breakfast with hardcore legend Mick Foley.
Ooh.
$1,000 in spending money.
Hey.
We talked about the seats, and you get, you know, two great seats to hardcore legend in the evening with Mick Foley. Which is his, you know, comedy special. Winner and guest will receive VIP packages from Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate, and WrestleCon. Winner will receive two VIP tickets to Ringside and Evening with Jim Ross. Think about all this so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
Winner will receive a signed Velvet Sky poster and a personal hug from Velvet. And according to Mick Foley, when he put that out there, they raised another $7,000.
Must have been all a certain Trey Dog.
Winner will receive a DDP yoga workout with Diamond Dallas Page himself.
Oh god, that would kill me.
And as we talked about with Rob Schomburger, winner will receive an original 20x32 Rob Schomburger piece of art featuring the wrestler of his or her choice. This also includes following WrestleMania. Winner and guest will receive an economy class airfare from New Orleans to Orlando on Tuesday, heading back Saturday, April 12th, or whatever day you choose. Winner and guest will receive round-trip transportation from Orlando to the Kittanay Village of Disney's Magical Express Transportation Service. Once you're there in Walt Disney World, their amazing bus system can take you anywhere inside in Disney World. You'll get four nights, including an amazing one-bedroom villa in the Animal Kingdom Lodge. This is not a hotel room, it's a villa, with one bedroom and a separate living room and kitchen. You will get a four-day hopper pass for two, enabling you and your guests to come and go to Disney as you park as you please. And you will get the winner and guest will meet Disney expert, WWE superstar alumni, Scotty Tuhati, on a day and location that works for you. He will show you the ins and outs of Disney World, as only a nerd / superstar of his magnitude can.
Good lord, how are they paying for all of this?
By your donations to rain.org. Go to rain.org right now. That's rainn.org, where you can win a chance to spend some time with Mick Foley, go to WrestleMania, go to Disney World. Entry deadline is Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. If you're concerned about, you know, there's a $4,900 cash prize thing involved as well, which basically pays for your tax. So you don't actually get that money, but it pays the tax on the whole trip, so it costs you nothing.
That's incredible.
Right? So yeah. Go to rain.org, sign up. You can win an unbelievable trip for two to WrestleMania.
Thank you, Mick Foley.
Right?
And everyone else that's going to be involved. Thank you so much.
But think about that. Think about that. You get to do everything WrestleMania weekend, from WWE to Ring of Honor to Dragon Gate, all of it.
Good Lord, you're going to be exhausted.
And then you get to go to Disney World.
And then on top of it, you get to go to Disney World with Scotty Too Hotty. I mean, good Lord. This is an amazing prize, people. Enter, 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 enter. And once again, where can they go?
Rain.org. That's RAINN.org.
So everybody, please, go enter, sign up, donate. This is an amazing thing that Foley and everybody else involved are doing, and they're doing it out of the goodness of their hearts.
Mm-hmm. They raised a lot of money 2 years ago when they last did this, and now this is, or even they're like thousands of dollars ahead of where they were once were, where they peaked the last time they did it. So I think last time they raised $60,000.
Wow.
And this is a small charity, which, like, their operating cost is like $1 million to $2 million for the year. So $60,000 is a lot of money for them.
Yeah. So please, even if you don't want to go, I'm sure they will accept donations. I'm sure they're happy to accept donations.
Yeah, you can donate at rain.org.
Yeah, so please, go check it out. Give if you can. This is an amazing opportunity that, well, only comes around WrestleMania season.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, speaking of an amazing opportunity, it seems that John Cena is up for a movie role.
Yeah, he's up for a film being directed by Judd Apatow and written by comedian Amy Schumer, who some of you may know from appearances on The Roast, on Comedy Central, as well as being the ex-girlfriend of one Dolph Ziggler.
Oops.
well, they're friendly. They're friendly, so it doesn't... It's just interesting that he's tied to this picture. But yeah, it's supposed to have a lot of celebrity involvement in this film, so it's a big to do.
Well, good. I'm glad. And well, we'll have to see if Cena gets it. Cross your fingers.
Yeah, it's according to the Marketing Entertainment Trademarks and Variety, Cena's in discussion to join the cast of Trainwreck. Yeah, no other details beyond that are known, but yeah, Trainwreck is the name of the film.
I can hear the memes being made mm-hmm. now. Oh, good Lord, I'm frightened. Maybe this isn't a good idea for Cena to get this part.
The guy who was up for Oscar nomination for Swarms alongside Tom Hanks and Captain Phillips is also in negotiations to make an appearance in this film as well.
Okay, then.
So John Cena may be headed to the big screen.
Again. For the first time. I'm not sure. The Marine one ever...
I believe the Marine hit the theaters.
Okay. But 12 rounds didn't.
One of them did.
Maybe it was the first one. I'm not entirely sure.
I'm looking it up as we go to our next story.
Okay, well, going to our next story, because the producer says so. We're going to, you know, speaking of comedy and people getting a laugh and funny ha-ha and all that good stuff, it seems JBL's having the last laugh, as it were, because people on Monday were swearing left, right, upside down, and center that, well, JBL is Cranky Vince. If you don't know who Cranky Vince is on Twitter, just go look him up, because I can't describe him. It's just, like, kind of...
You want to know how you describe
him? Psycho-crazy.
You want to know how you describe him? Cranky Vince.
Yes, it's basically a parody account of a Cranky Vince McMahon. And we've talked about it before on this show, where... the account, WWE's basically been targeting this account. They have been trying to get, you know, basically figure out, one, who it is, which I think they know who it is at this point, or the group of people, I should say, that are running the account. Because they actually, a lot of people believe it's more than one person at this stage. But they also, you know, they've been trying to get rid of it. They've been trying to shut it down, and they have not been successful. They've got it blocked multiple times, and he always seems to come back for more. And basically the root of the story is that JBL put out a tweet, and then, you know, like 5 minutes later, Cranky Vince put out the same exact tweet, because, you know, it's so difficult to copy and paste. But because of this, everybody was swearing JBL was Cranky Vince, and JBL basically went on a rant where he said, "No, you know, I'm not that." You know, it's, and basically he debunked all the rumors. And well, JBL is not Cranky Vince, so Cranky Vince lives to fight another day, y'all.
Yes, he does. And to update on the previous story, wow, English, I can speak it. Both 12,
sure.
both 12 rounds and the Marine both were in theaters.
Okay. Fair enough.
Both made around $20 million in theaters.
That's not too shabby.
No, well.
So, all right. Well, we're going to transition out of WWE now. And we're going to go a little bit into TNA because we have TNA news. Yay!
Hot damn.
The biggest news, of course, is that, well, it's kind of a tie, actually. TNA is doing a huge taping in New York City this summer at the Hammerstein Ballroom, I believe.
They're supposedly, it's not confirmed, but the rumors are pointing that TNA will be running this summer at the Hammerstein Ballroom. They've had scouts there, scouting the location, talking to managers, and no deal is finalized. But they're reportedly going to be spending some time up in the Northeast taping some shows. And one of the desired locations is indeed the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Well, best of luck to them. I hope they get it.
It's a nice location to film a TV show. It has a very intimate environment. If they can pack it with 1,500 people, it will look really, really good on television. Because if you remember,
right.
If you remember old ECW television shows, if you remember the original one and two one-night stands they did, and how loud and packed the crowd was... in that building, that's the type of environment TNA needs. Small, compact, look legit, you know, building.
Yes, and best of luck to them. If it is true, I hope they sell, and they sell well. And speaking of selling well, it seems Gail Kim has deemed the honor, or been given the honor, I should say, I can't talk tonight, of being named the sexiest woman alive by Smart Asses Magazine.
It's an Asian magazine from doing some research, but yeah, she's. That's what it says. Just going with what it said. AJ Lee was ranked number 10. Rosita for Martina Knockout was number 16, and Brooke Tessmacher, number 67.
Not too shabby.
No, not too shabby at all. So yeah, congratulations to Gail Kim.
Yes, congratulations to her. Absolutely well deserved. I think it's right, but then again, I'm biased. And, you know, last but certainly not least, since we're on the topic of Gail Kim, it seems that, well, Gail and Tapa might be done, but Tapa might be done.
She tweeted out that she's done. She is no longer with Impact Wrestling as of tonight, and we'll tell you how that happened later in the program.
We will. But now we're going to take our first break of the evening after we've got through all that news, unless you have anything else.
Well, there's the one story that we, you know, we talked about, like, right before the show.
Oh, that's right. The thing that I'm sitting here working on as we speak.
Right.
This
story, presented, as always, by... This is where you plug that website.
PWMania.com?
CassidyRiley.net, for all your Cassidy Riley needs...
That's right, the VIP himself.
This is... go.
This is not going to be a good show tonight, y'all.
This is a great show. What are you talking about?
This is not going to be good. Anyway, yes, presented by CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs, because it's actually going to get updated.
Hold on. You're sitting there working on it. You know what the story is about, and...
I thought we were going to plug it later! It's live radio, y'all. Live radio. Blame the producer.
Blame the producer. Yeah, hashtag blame the producer. Go.
Totally. 100% blame the producer.
Yeah, whose bracket's about to be busted some more. Anyway, continue.
Uh-huh.
Continue.
Is Louisville winning?
They play tomorrow.
Oh, they play tomorrow. Even better.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Even better. So, for those of you who are a fan of Cassidy Riley, and you happen to watch A&E's Duck Dynasty, you have to tune in for the finale, because, well, it's going to get the VIP treatment. That's right. Cassidy Riley himself will be appearing on the finale of Duck Dynasty, and he said himself on his Facebook that he's going to be starring in it. So, well, we'll have to see what kind of shenanigans he gets in with the boys.
And I was stand corrected, Louisville is playing now, my bad.
I just to say, they're like, live, like, right now.
That was my bad. I thought I was thinking of the wrong team.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was thinking about Weaver, sorry.
No. Really? Really, you think I'm worried about Weaver? Really?
They were the one that, anyway. They're winning at the half, by the way. We'll keep you updated.
Yay!
Anyway, if you're a Duck Dynasty fan, go check him out on it's part of they're doing a whole family reunion thing, and he's going to be involved somehow, so check it out.
Yes, check it out. Please check it out. Check him out. It's going to be awesome, and also check out CassieRally.net, because, you know, I'm actually going to update it. So, on that note, we are going to take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to get to the good portion of the show, because, you know, I actually was paying attention. Sorry, guys. And we're going to be talking to the one and the only Rob Schomburger. I had such a pleasure talking to him. You're going to get to hear everything he had to say about WrestleMania, about getting to work with WWE, all about Mick Foley's raffle, and more. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
I'm running with this plan. Pull me, grab me, traps in the bucket, can't have me. I'll be the president one day, January 1st. Oh, you like that gossip? Like you the one drinking what gossip.com. Now I got a word for your tongue. How many rollers?
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Celebrating 10 years of Wrestle Talk Radio.
Now, what did you buy with Ted DiBiase's money?
Man, you know what? Probably a fucking Ghost Rider comic book. I don't know. That was a long time ago. You know, I'm surprised I didn't, like, frame it and stick it on a wall or something, because I'm a collector and I do stupid... I hold on to, like, stupid shit like that. But yeah, at that time in my life, most likely, probably went to comic book.
Tune into the live special Sunday night, March 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns,
after 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap on Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com. I am super excited because joining us today is one of my all-time favorite artists. He's an amazing talent, and he's going to be featured this year at WrestleMania, which is super cool. Please, everybody, welcome to the program, Mr. Rob Schromberger. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, I kind of have to know, how did this whole thing kind of get started for you? Because I know you're going to be featured at WrestleMania this year, and I believe you've actually been featured in the past as well. So can you kind of give us some info on how it all got started?
Sure. It's actually my first official WrestleMania with them. But I started about 3 years ago. I was looking to do something different with my art. I've been working as primarily with comic books and illustration, and it didn't ever quite fully happen. You know, like I still had to have a day job and everything.
Right.
And I just wanted to do something different, and I realized that no one had ever really done a serious collection of portraits of wrestlers. And then I thought, like, hey, it'd be cool to do every one of wrestling's world champions going all the way back to George Hackenschmidt. And
very
that's
nice.
Where it all kind of started. Did a Kickstarter, it was about 3 years ago, and raised $20,000 in a month to pay for studio space and everything. I was able to, finally make that break into doing art full time, and just built off it from there. It's been a wild ride.
That's amazing. And I know you've had some of your work featured on WWE auctions, where it's actually up for bid right now. I know you have a piece for Daniel Bryan, and I believe it's either still available or just closed for Randy Orton. What was that like? Did they approach you on that, or did you kind of work that out with them, or how did that happen?
Yeah, they actually came to me. Jim Ross had told them that, suggested to him that it'd be a good fit for us to do business together, and which is pretty neat. Like, I might actually be the last person that Jim Ross brought into WWE, kind of a neat lineage to be part of. But yeah, like, we started talking about halfway through last year, and then towards the end of the year, we launched our first auctions together right around like Black Friday time. And, we've been, doing them pretty consistently since then. And yeah, it's been phenomenal. Like, I've got my own page on WWE.com, right? Like, and I don't even have to take bumps in the ring.
That's pretty cool. Now, have you always been a fan of wrestling? Have you watched it since you were a kid, or did you kind of get into it a little bit later?
Yeah, I got into it when I was 18. Like every 18-year-old kid that lived on his own, I was at my parents doing laundry on a Monday night. And my stepfather, who'd been a fan back in the 60s and 70s, was flipping through the channels and landed on Ric Flair doing a promo on Nitro. This would have been 1998. And I was just hooked, like, bam, right there. And luckily, like, the next week, I was just looking for wrestling, because at the time, I didn't know the difference between the shows or anything. And I landed on Raw, and, looking back in 98, they were killing it. Everyone was firing on all cylinders, and, yeah, I've been a fan since.
That's pretty awesome. Now, you've done other pieces. If you go to robschalmberger.com, which is your website, and you look through your catalog of work, which everybody should do, you've had kind of inspirations outside of the pro wrestling. And I know you said that you decided that you wanted to, you know, to do the Champions Collection, which is amazing as well. You know, what kind of made you settle on doing pieces, you know, primarily focused on pro wrestling?
I just wasn't finding a whole lot of success with other subject matter, because what I ran into, you know, like with comic books,
right,
there's a lot of other really talented comic book artists out there, and that, you know, like, had made all the connections and put all the work and practice into owning their craft, and you know, I was just never going to be the guy that draws Batman. So I was like, okay, well, I'll focus on my gallery work, and I was doing pretty well with that. I was doing, like, pin-up type stuff. But at the end of the day, I was just another guy doing pin-up stuff. You know, no matter how good I got, like, I would never be, like, Jennifer Janesco or any of those people that have, you know, done really well in that genre. So I was looking around for, well, what can I do? And yeah, wrestling just fit perfectly.
That's awesome. Now, who were some of your favorites growing up or as you kind of sort of dove in into the world of wrestling?
Well, obviously when I first started watching, it would have been Austin and The Rock, you know, especially The Rock at the time, and Chris Jericho. And right around then was when Edge debuted with WWF at the time, and pretty much, you know, watched his whole career. And really neat thing, like, through doing these paintings, when I did my big Champions Collection portrait of Edge, he really liked it, and we started talking, and we've become pretty friendly since then, which just wasn't a picture back in 98 when I was watching wrestling at my folks' place.
Well, he's taken up art, so have you been giving him some tips?
We haven't gotten there yet. although, actually, when we met last year, we did talk technique a little. That was pretty fun.
That's pretty cool. Have any of the talent collected any of your work?
Yeah, it's been great. Like Edge, for instance, he and Beth, the gym that they have in their house is decorated with various paintings of mine. When I was doing the Kickstarter and, you know, announced that I'm going to do every world champion, a lot of people jokingly asked me, so are you going to do David Arquette? And I'm like, well, yeah, man. I said I'm going to do them all, so... I, you know, just like on a whim, tweeted out to David, like, hey, when I get to yours, like, which of your outfits do you want? And, he, for some reason, took a look at my stuff and really liked it. And he's got his portrait hanging up in his living room, which is pretty dang neat. Like, I was actually at, that WCW pay-per-view with the Triple Cage thing where he was defending his title and everything. That was here in Kansas City. Like, you know, all these people that I had watched as a fan or just as a spectator, you know, now they've got some of my stuff. It's neat.
I think that's every artist's dream, isn't it? To have your inspirations if they're a person and if they're living, you know, that they like it so much that they buy it or that they want it and they hang it in their house.
Yeah, it's a great validation of what I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, do you have a favorite piece that you've done so far? Because I know you've done a lot, so.
That's kind of tough. That's like asking a parent who their favorite kid is. But I'd say that Edge portrait, the Champions Collection one, is maybe the best thing I've done. I've got a couple others that I haven't posted yet that might rival it, but I think that one has been a favorite for a while too. I did it like back in July of last year, and it's just stayed one of my favorites.
And that's one of your acrylic pieces, correct?
Yeah, that one was a mix of acrylic, spray paint. I think I had some house paint splattered on it. on those bigger ones, I'll use whatever kind of media will give me the kind of effect that I'm going for.
Right.
Just one of the fun things you can do with art.
Absolutely. Now, I've noticed because I follow you on everything. because, like I said, I am a huge fan of your work. I love your work. I noticed that you've been doing a lot more watercolors lately, and they've been absolutely stunning.
Thank you. First, you have great taste. Second, watercolors are a lot faster to do. They're more immediate. Like I can do like those smaller ones that I post most often are like 9x12, and I can do about 6 of those in a day. So, you know, that gives me plenty to post throughout the week, or if I'm building up a lot of paintings for a show, like that's an easy way to, you know, build up a lot of inventory. But also watercolors are a lot of fun because they kind of have a mind of their own because you're working with water, right? And, you know,
right.
It's kind of like herding cats. Like they kind of just do their own thing and you kind of just gotta let them. And then I kind of rein it in with the ink that I'll apply on there as well. But yeah, watercolor is a lot of fun. And a lot of my artist friends tell me that, they think that that's some of my stronger stuff.
Yeah, you did a portrait of Luke Harper, and I think it's still his profile pic on Twitter, but it was absolutely beautiful, which sounds
Thank
weird
you.
Saying because it's about Luke Harper, but your use of color, and it was amazing. I have an art background. I'm an art geek. I'm actually an art major.
Oh, cool.
So that's why I said I'm very excited to talk to you. But so I'm curious, are you, when you're doing this display for WrestleMania this year, are you going to be featuring more of your watercolors, or are you going to be featuring more of your acrylic pieces?
This is such a cool opportunity that WWE has given me here. It's going to be, like, my display is going to be right inside the front doors for access at the convention center. I'll be set
nice.
Up right outside of the superstore. We're going to have over 100 paintings on display there for people to be able to purchase. Plus, I'll be doing live art there for all 4 days. And this isn't just for the access sessions. Like, the doors open at like 11 or noon each day, and that part is free to the public. Anybody can come in. And yeah, I'll be doing a giant 8-foot by 4-foot painting there, that I'll be working on all 4 days, which, you know, there's more details about exactly what is going to be on that painting, but it's going to be really, really cool. And yeah, like, a lot of the watercolors you've seen me putting up lately are ones that I've been getting ready for this show. So there'll be a lot of those, but there'll be a lot of bigger pieces as well, and even some of the Champions Collection pieces I'll have there.
So have you convinced anybody to sit for you live?
That'd be neat. I don't think we have any current plans for that, but that'd be definitely neat to do.
Now, WWE isn't the only one that you're working with as far as WrestleMania. I also saw, I believe, on Facebook that you're working with Mick Foley and you're helping Mick Foley with a fundraiser as well.
Yeah, this is another one of those things that I just couldn't quite believe came together as easily as it did. It turns out Mick had been a fan of my work for a while, but he didn't know about me. He just recognized the paintings when he saw them. But, you know, he's so busy and has so much information coming at him all the time, he never knew who the artist was doing this stuff. And when I saw the raffle fundraiser that he's doing for Rain, I really wanted to be a part of that because giving back to those less fortunate and to various causes is something really important to me. Like, through my art last year, I raised over $10,000 for various charities and, you know, something
That's
that
incredible.
I'm continuing with this year. Thank you. Thank you to all the people that make that happen. I saw that he was doing that, so I just emailed him and said, you know, introduced myself and, you know, that I'd like to donate a painting of the winner's choice. Actually, at the time I said that I'd donate a painting of him, and he came back and he's like, well, you know, someone that wins this, I might not be their favorite wrestler, so let's keep it open to them, and, you know, I'll do a portrait of whoever their favorite wrestler is. You know, along with all those awesome, you know, prizes in there, like, you know, the trip to WrestleMania and Hall of Fame and, JR's show. And, I think there's even like a Disney World, prize in there as well. Like, you'll get a tour from Scotty Too Hottie.
And, it wouldn't be a bit fully if it didn't involve Disney, you know?
Yeah. he was so energetic about it, so excited to like as soon as I emailed him, I went to bed shortly after, I think it was during Raw maybe that I emailed him, and woke up the next morning, he'd already tweeted it out before we'd even, fully spoken to each other, how excited he was to have this be part of it. Yeah, I mean, it's just so neat. And he's as genuine and cool of a guy as everyone hopes that he is.
That's awesome. And you also got a great honor in the fact that you got your art featured. I believe you actually have a permanent display at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yes. Giant, giant honor. And that's such a great organization, and the physical building itself there in Waterloo, Iowa is incredible. It's, there's a bucket list of things that true wrestling fans need to experience. WrestleMania, of course, the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion in Las Vegas, and I put the National Wrestling Hall of Fame induction ceremony up there as well. It's one of the most meaningful things that I've done, and that they responded so well to my art has been incredible. This coming July will be the third year that I've displayed there, and last year, yeah, they started displaying some of the stuff permanently there. It's in their collection now. Going to be doing new stuff going forward with them as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Kyle Kleeman, that runs the museum, is a great, great guy and a great friend to wrestling as a whole.
That's amazing. That's so cool for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, we talked about the media that you like to work in, which is, of course, acrylic and watercolor, and you've done illustration as well. Have you ever considered going digital, possibly?
I played around with it for a while, especially when I was working with comic books, and I like having paint all over my hands at the end of the day. I feel like I really accomplished something that way. And also, there's that tangible original that people can have as well.
Right.
I do reproductions, but having that original, it just gives it a sense of place in history, that's really desirable to me. And that's not a knock on anyone that does digital art,
right.
Because it is a very true art form, and it's just another tool that you can use to make your art. And, maybe sometime down the line again, I'll play around with it some more. But right now I'm having too much fun making my hands all dirty.
I can understand that. If I had the space and the not carpeted area in my studio, I would probably be the same way. Unfortunately, I rent, so my complex would be okay with that. Now, we've talked a lot about your art, and obviously you've had some huge compliments for it, but what would you say would be the biggest compliment that you've ever gotten about your work?
There have been a few family members of wrestlers that have passed away, that have reached out to me, either to have me do a painting, or they saw a painting that I have done, and they tell me, how important that was to them, to see it. And, some of them will even, at National Wrestling Hall of Fame last year, I did a piece on one of the guys being inducted and his family. They started tearing up when they saw it. And,
aww.
That was important. But probably the number one thing would be last year I did a fundraiser show for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, where I was able to actually fully adopt a kid's wish. I paid, for him to go to Disney World, and to be in a position to do that and do it through my art, is an incredible experience that I just want to have over and over again.
That's so cool. And that was so amazing that you did that for them. Now, did you go with them, or did you just donate the money for it? I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Yeah, just donated the money, although through the really amazing people at WWE, I was able to get him, his family, and friends second row tickets at SmackDown when they came here to Kansas City. And I was actually sitting right behind them And that for all of them, it was their first ever live wrestling show. And to, you know, be second row, camera side, you know, so the guys are performing for them, it was tremendous. You know, I don't know who had a bigger smile on their face, me or them, you know, like, the show was awesome, but watching them watch the show, it put into focus what it was all about.
That's absolutely incredible. And obviously you used, you know, your social media tools through that. Do you think that social media is a good way to get your art out? Because I know you put out a piece every day. For those of you that don't follow him, he puts out a piece every day. And then you also show the Schromberger Labs video, which is really cool to watch, how you actually create your work. Do you think that, you know, that's a good way to get instant feedback on your work?
I don't think my success would have happened without social media. You know, going back to the Kickstarter, you know, the crowdfunding aspect of it, all of it, really happened because of social media and like all the interaction and feedback that I get from the superstars and divas and, you know, wrestling fans as a whole, it wouldn't happen without it. And also it's really cool to get that immediate feedback on things. You know, it's not just me being all solitary in my studio all day, you know, putting all these pieces together for some eventual exhibition, you know, I'm able to show it in live time with everyone, and it's cool. And also, yeah, being able to do the process videos, like, at first I thought it was just kind of, egotistical of me to do it, like that anyone out there would want to see how I do my stuff, and I was kind of afraid of like other artists telling me that, you know, I'm doing everything wrong or whatever, but people have responded really well to it. And I did a comic book convention, Planet Comic Con, last weekend, and I heard from a lot of people how much they enjoy doing it, you know, like watching me do the videos, which is cool. And it also led to me doing live art on Saturday. They had a big stage set up with a DJ and an experience that I'll probably never have again was DMC from Run DMC performed on the stage immediately before I got on there. So,
oh, wow.
Daryl Mack opened for me. You know, that,
you can't that's get much better cool than that.
Thing. No,
you really, really, really can't. That's pretty sweet. Now, I'm curious because I've mentioned my art background and I've gushed over you, and I'm a little embarrassed that I've gushed over you, but I'm curious to know if you have any tips for any up and coming artists, you know, people like me that are trying to break in and, or trying to, you know, kind of find their way in this crazy, crazy world.
Absolutely. Number one thing is draw every day, draw or paint or do whatever creative field you're in. You need to be doing it every day. The reason for that is that it is a muscle that needs to be exercised just like anything else in your body. And if you take time off and don't work at it, it atrophies on you. And,
right.
It takes a while to build that back up. Also, look at your own work with a critical eye, but, don't get lost in that. I'm real big on taking whatever mistakes happened on a piece or things that I could have done better and applying those lessons to the next thing I do. Not spending an extra week or whatever on trying to make that piece better. Because, you know, especially with me, well, this is how I earn my living. I can't spend time on that, you know, to make that one piece excellent. I need to make it pretty good. And, hope that I just continue overall to raise the tide of my whole body of work. And so far that's working out for me.
Well, great. Thank you so much for that. I definitely agree with a lot of that. Definitely. It's something of when you're working on something, it's just like you're sitting there and you're like, I think it's okay. It looks okay to me in this. Like you go back, you know, 2 weeks later and you look at it and you're like, and this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. And so it's like, you have to take it to the next thing and definitely
right.
Appreciate that.
there's a great story of Pablo Picasso that I share with every artist that I possibly can. At least it's attributed to Picasso. The story is that he's in a park sketching, and a woman recognizes him, comes up to him in the park, and she's, you know, says, "Oh my gosh, you're Pablo Picasso. Can you draw my portrait?" And he says, "Sure." And he stares at her for about 5 minutes, and then, and you know, a few strokes of the pencil, draws her portrait, and you know, it's a remarkable likeness of her. Hands it to her, and he says, and you know, she's like, "Oh, that's wonderful, that's perfect." And he's like, "Great, that'll be $500." and she says, "But that only took you, you know, about 6 minutes." And he says, "No, it took me my whole life."
Yeah.
Because every single piece of art that he had done up to that point informed him to get to that point.
Yeah, it's, I think I've seen a meme or something about it where it's like, why does this cost so much? Because it took me 10 years in art school to learn how to do it.
Yep.
So I can completely understand that. I know we've been talking for a while, so I don't want to keep you too long, but I do have one last question for you before you go.
Sure.
WrestleMania's in 3 weeks. Do you have any predictions for WrestleMania? Are you cheering for anybody in particular?
Well, one, you know, everything going on with Daniel Bryan, they are poised to have a very, very special moment at the end of the night if everything comes together correctly. I think that it'll be like one of those really genuine, amazing WrestleMania moments that'll be talked about for 30 years, you know, plus to come. There's also like just kind of a perfect storm of people returning and of new stars, coming to the forefront. It's one of the more exciting ones that, you know, that I can remember since like maybe WrestleMania 20, which is my favorite one. I think that we're in store for an amazing show, and not just because I'm going to be there painting.
So you're going to get to go to the show?
Yes, yeah. Again, amazing people at WWE. They're incredible to work with. Taking care of me and my wife to go to that show and to go to the Hall of Fame as well. It'll be my first Hall of Fame to go to, and I'm super stoked.
Oh, the Hall of Fame is a blast. I got to go for 27 when it was in Atlanta, and the Hall of Fame is an amazing experience. So you guys will have so much fun.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Well, Rob, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us and giving me the great advice. I greatly appreciate it. And I hope you have a wonderful time at WrestleMania. Best of luck to you.
This was a pleasure. Thank you.
Once again, a big thanks to Rob Schomburger. Everyone, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. When they see me, everybody barack, barack. Man, I'm like a young gun, fully black, barack. I cry teardrops over the massive attack. I only make hits like I work with a racket and back. Look at my jacket and hat, so damn bizarre, so down to earth. I'm bringing gravity back, adopted by the major. I want my family back. People work hard just to get all their salary tax. Look, I'm just a writer from the ghetto like Mallory Black. Man, where the hell for the sanity at? Damn, I used to be the kid that no one cared about. That's why you have to keep screaming till they hear you out.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cigs.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me.
8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of me dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck?
Are you sure you're not open?
I got a pack of Camel Light.
Hell yeah. Oh my God.
All right.
Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you got to run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go.
That's I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn...
Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it?
All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy.
Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking...
About to be plowed by fucking 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live... Midnight, we're as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels, and among many things, I am a pillar of society, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the Rack on Wild Talk Radio. And now, you are too.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, as my voice decides it suddenly doesn't want to work, I'd like to send out a big, huge thanks to Rob Schomburger and, of course, Mark Kruskal for providing him to us. It was a blast to talk to him. If you want to check out his work, you've never seen it, please go to RobSchomburger.com. That's RobSchomburger. You can also go to facebook.com/Rob Schomburger, twitter.com/Rob Schomburger, and robschomburger.tumblr.com. He is everywhere. He posts stuff daily. Please go check it out. You know, his stuff is frequently retweeted by WWE superstars, too. So, once again, big, huge thanks to him. Best of luck to him at WrestleMania. I wish I could go watch him paint, because that would be awesome.
That would be kind of awesome to watch him paint.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and once again, thanks to Mark. Over at MJK Public Relations. He's awesome. He provides us with some awesome guests that you've heard all month long on the Rack, and it would like, we wouldn't have Christopher Daniels, Frank Azarian, or Austin Aries, or even Rob Schomburger without Mark. So you can follow him on Twitter at MJKPR right now. He's awesome. He's hooked us up really well this month. We couldn't be more appreciative of his hard work.
Exactly. Thank you so much. And thank you to everybody who's put up with the marathon of interviews. I hope everybody enjoyed them. Everybody liked them. This is it for now. just to let everybody know, next week it is back to business as usual, unless something else comes through.
You never know.
You never know with us, but yeah. So right now, this was the last interview of the set. So like I said, I hope everybody liked it. Everybody enjoyed it. We had such fun talking to all those amazing guests.
We gave you 5 guests in 1 month. That's a lot for like us. It's a lot for any normal show. But yeah, 5 guests, 1 month. We're spent.
We're kind of spent, yeah. So we're going to take a little bit of a break, especially seeing as WrestleMania is, what, 2 weeks away?
Three weeks away. But you never say never in the wrestling business.
You never say never, absolutely. But speaking of the wrestling business, and I guess never saying never, let's get into TNA.
Let's get into some TNA wrestling. They were back again from Orlando, Florida.
They were back again, and well, we opened not with a massive promo, but, well, with a fight. We see EY and Abyss pounding on each other in the backstage area. ODB is yelling encouragement at her husband. At one point, EY gets knocked down, and ODB tries to make the save, but, well, sadly, she falls a little bit short, and she gets run off by Abyss, but EY gets a second win, and then the two proceed to fight from, really, the parking area all the way to the ring. Weapons get involved, and then Abyss finally takes down EY by choking him out with a steel chain.
Yeah, at first he face plant him into an unfolded steel chair, which hurt like hell.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he had a chain, and they fought everywhere, at ringside, in the ring. Yeah, but he quickly choked out Eric Young.
So, well, and as we heard last week, EY and Abyss are supposed to be, you know, chained to each other for the, you know, rematch between Joe and Magnus. So, well, I guess we're going to have to see how that goes.
Yeah, we should also mention that EY took a black hole slam as well.
Yes, he did. EY took quite the beating tonight, so congratulations to him on that.
Congratulations on the beating?
I guess. I don't know. I got nothing on that.
I don't know, but ODB came in like, oh, good wife, and checked on her husband.
She did. She was an awesome wife. Mm-hmm. Checked on her hubby, made sure he was okay.
They gotta drink some stuff later, so, you know. Gotta make sure
she gotta take care of him. She gotta make sure he feels better.
This is too. She needs to drink her drinking buddy back. Anyway.
Yes, she does. Anyway, we come back from commercial break, and we go right into our first contest of the evening, which is I was just a little surprised that this got aired on a regular show. But, okay, we see Ethan Carter III taking on Bobby Lashley.
Lashley looked good.
Lashley looked really good.
Carter looked good as well. They were having a pretty solid match until Willow showed up. Willow attacked EC3 from behind. Ref called for the bell. No decision, which we later found out thanks to Ethan Carter on Twitter. I won. But he did not look like a winner at this point, as Willow pulled out a ladder, rammed Carter's face into it, and, well, he was about to be drilled from the top of the ladder, but Carter was able to get out of the way for the moment from Willow.
Yes, and Willow watched him scurry away from the top of his ladder.
More on Willow to come.
A lot more on Willow to come. After this, we see Bully Ray. He's in Nashville, and he's meeting with Dixie Carter. You know, he called her and asked him to come down and talk to her. But she's been mysteriously in meetings all day. But, you know, he has no problem playing her game and waiting. He'll just, you know, sit here and chill.
He'll chill. He'll chill, relax, sit back and wait for Dixie.
Madam Dixie Carter.
Madam Dixie.
Yes, Madam Dixie. We Spud.
Right, I was just about to say, there was no Spud on this show. It was kind of disappointing. It's only been a week, and it was sad he was not there.
He's the highlight of my show.
He really is the highlight of the show.
After this, we cut back to Orlando, where Samoa Joe walks into MVP's office to complain about, you know, what he let happen at lockdown. And how, you know, his insurance policy, Eric Young, is kind of on its way to the hospital right now.
Yeah.
MVP says that they spoke earlier and, you know, they both want the same thing, but Joe says he doesn't care what MVP wants because he just wants his world title. You know, MVP says he'll fix this, but Joe thinks that every time MVP says he'll fix something, it gets worse.
Grumpy Joe. Fucked off.
Yes, Joe's very, very, very grumpy tonight.
Very grumpy.
After this, we go elsewhere backstage where a mysterious cameraman asks Angelina Love what she thinks Velvet Sky is going to say tonight. Angelina says she knows that she caught Velvet off guard last week, but she's had plenty of time to think about it, and she thinks we'll see the Beautiful People reunion tonight. Could be.
Could be.
And then after this, well, elsewhere backstage. There's a lot of elsewhere backstage.
It's a big backstage.
It's a huge backstage. Huge-ish. Ethan Carter III, if I could talk, comes into Magnus's dressing room to ask him where he was while he was getting assaulted by Willow. Magnus tells Carter not to bust into his dressing room with that tone, but EC3 wants Magnus to know that, you know, as the official liaison of the Carter family, ooh, fancy, their relationship is done. Magnus says he knows that because he terminated the relationship after he got all he could out of Aunt Dee. Carter tells him to watch his tone, but Magnus says to take a seat in the crowd and watch the championship match. And, well, you know, get out of his locker room. That might help.
That would, too. And, you know, all he needs is Abyss.
Totally. You know, Carter wishes him luck and leaves. And, well, could Abyss play a factor? I guess we'll have to see.
Yes, we shall.
After this, we cut to the ringside where Gunnar comes out. And he says he's proud that he went off to war with one of the toughest men in the country. And, you know, they emerge victorious. He's proud of his time in the service of the veterans in the crowd. And he was trained to never give up and to fight for everything you want. And without that, he wouldn't be standing where he is today. And he wants to thank his father, who, you know, just happens to be sitting front row.
Just so happens to be there.
Which, you know, we all know how this goes when people's fathers sit front row.
Come on, Gunner. You know, the guy who played the Marine brings his father all the time to wrestling. You know, that's never...
And his father inevitably ends up in the hospital.
Yeah, it's never a good thing.
Never, ever, ever a good thing.
You like how I tied the Marines together?
Yeah, very good. Well done. Well played.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, Gunner then goes out to his dad and tells him that it's a shoot when he says that he wouldn't be there without his family's support, and he swears that he's going to win the world title for them someday. Then we get an interruption from one James Storm. You know, he hates to break up the family reunion, but he thinks it's a little rude that Gunner did not introduce him to his father, especially after everything Storm did for him. Gunner's dad is simply shaking his head, so Storm comes over to introduce himself and say that, you know, he knows he's Gunner's father and the man who cried over how proud he is of his son. And, you know, he cried after his own dad died before getting to see him do anything in his life. Storm says that he knows Gunner's grandfather is in heaven and is glad that he died before he could see his son and his grandson, I should say, become complete failures.
Storm. God. Heartless, are you?
He's such a fantastic heel. He really is.
Man, that was heartless.
Gunner then goes after Storm, but Storm drills him with the last call super kick. Then, you know, he handcuffs Gunner to the ropes.
Hold on. Where did the handcuffs come from?
It's James Storm. He carries them with him. Don't ask questions.
Apparently Storm carries handcuffs all the time.
Do you not remember America's Most Wanted?
I remember America's Most Wanted. I know.
He got the handcuffs when Harris left. Hey!
Okay. It's better than where my mind was going, so continue.
Hey, let's keep this PG.
Right, okay.
Anyway, Storm handcuffs Gunner to the ropes.
Hold on. I was just saying he plays cops and robbers. I don't know where you're going.
Yeah, I know where your mind goes. Because we share the same brain.
We share the same brain, and your mind went there, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Storm drug Gunner's dad out of the crowd. And, you know, he had him by the neck while yelling at Gunner that this is his dad. And then he tosses Mr. Gunner. And, you know, starts to walk up the ramp. Gunner's dad then tries to release his son from the handcuffs, but Storm stops halfway, picks up his beer bottle, and comes back to the ring and smashes it on the back of Gunner's father's head. And, well, the dad is out and Gunner is distraught.
Vintage James Storm.
You know, props to Gunner's dad for taking the bottle shot.
Yes, for not even the bottle shot and being dragged around by Storm like that.
Yeah, I mean, props for him getting involved. You know, they took real good care of him, so very, very nice segment. And the rivalry continues.
Yes, it does. This is a very personal story being told right now between the two.
Yes, and I'm digging it. We cut back to the backstage where Gail Kim says she has been the benchmark of the Knockouts division since she created it, and now Tapa has the gall to turn on her. Basically, Gail's facing Tapa tonight, and if Tapa doesn't beat her, then she's done with Tapa, and that means that Tapa is out of Impact Wrestling.
Ooh.
Which, well, I think we since we mentioned it in the news that, well, Lady Tapa is no longer with the company, then, well, you can kind of figure where the match went. Spoiler! You have to wait and play the horn at the match. No, he gets it one time. Take your finger off the button.
It's right there. No.
He gets it at the match, and that's it. Can I continue now?
Fine. You're going to at some point put a thing that shocks me whenever I go near the horn.
Yes, I am, because I will destroy that horn. It will happen. Anyway, the Bromans and DJ Zima Ion show up and talk about clubbing last night on their way into Tigre Uno and Sonata's dressing room to tell them that, you know, in the simplest English that they can muster, that tonight's match will last 2 minutes. They both respond in Spanish and Japanese, respectively, and Zima says he wrestled in both Mexico and Japan, and that they both talk about how the Bromans are a couple of stud muffins.
He speaks Lucha Libre.
He does.
And strong style.
Yes. After this, we cut to the ring where we get Lady Tapa versus Gail Kim. Very, very good match. They beat the crap out of each other.
But Gail Kim made Lady Tapa eat defeat.
Yes, she did. And, well, Tapa is dumb TNA.
It's worth saying, na-na-na-na, hey, goodbye.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Girl, bye.
After this, we cut back to the backstage where MVP is up in the rafters, gimmick infringement, telling Willow that he wouldn't be here if he didn't need him, but now that he's taken out basically everyone, he'd like him to handcuff himself to Abyss to help out against the guy who screwed him out of the TNA world title. Willow goes off singing...
He was shouting about politics, agendas, and the evils of the world. He's a loner, and none of the issues actually involve him.
But basically, you know, he says no because it doesn't concern him. All right, this is where I want to pause this, because I want to rant on Willow just a minute. Props to Jeff Hardy for trying something different. This needs to stop. This really... really, 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 seriously, really needs to just stop. And this is no offense to Jeff Hardy, but dude, we all know it's you.
They even say it is.
Like, if you wanted to change your gimmick, fine, there's nothing wrong with that, but at least, you know, do make it seem like more of a gimmick change as opposed to you just putting on a mask and running around trying to sing. Like, just, no. This is just, no.
You do realize these are probably thoughts that actually go on in his mind, right?
I don't know what goes through his mind. I kind of don't want to know. I'm a little frightened of what goes through Jeff Hardy's head.
I think this is sort of what... Honestly, I think this is what goes through his head, and this is why Willow has come out. These are the thoughts he has, probably on a daily basis.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but at the same time, it's just...
It's scary.
It's not even scary. It's, and again, I don't mean any offense to anybody, but I'm sorry. It's stupid. To me, I'm sorry. It's just, it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. And I just, it's like, I don't mean to rant on it, but it's just, it's like, oh God, no. Especially the singing. Like, I could handle it if he didn't do the singing. But the singing just, like, pushed it over the edge for me tonight, where I'm like, no, okay, this has to go. This just has to go. I don't mind different. I don't mind wacky. I don't mind crazy. I'm a Bray Wyatt fan. Okay? That kind of crap doesn't bother me. The singing, at least for Hardy, it's like, no. It doesn't work.
Right.
It's like, if you're going to incorporate it, then incorporate something that, you know... Like, don't sing your promo. You can use song lyrics that, you know, sort of... match a promo, but don't actually sing your promo, because, yeah, it's just, no. No, 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 no.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that's just, I'm sure a lot of people like it, and I'm just weird and stuff, but yeah, I just, no.
He was in the rafters in black and white with a little color. I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, I don't know where I could have possibly seen that before.
Ever. Brand new original material from Jeff Hardy.
Gimmick infringement.
Well,
again.
Again, yeah. Well, originally, you know, it's Jeff Hardy and what, you know, it's Creatures of the Night, I believe it was.
Yes.
And now he's sort of, you know, the man they call Willow, a.k.a. the man they call Sting. I would kind of agree. It is indeed
gimmick infringement.
Yes. Just a little bit. A
little bit.
A little bit. Anyway, moving on. Angelina Love comes out to the ring and, you know, she says that she's given Velvet Sky time to make her decision, but she needs to know now if they're going to move forward together or if they're going to go their separate ways again. Velvet comes out looking slightly unhappy. She didn't even let the pigeons loose on her way to the ring.
Boo!
Really?
I've reacted. Continue.
Velvet says this is hard because Angelina was her mentor when she first came to TNA and taught her, you know, things both inside and outside of the ring. And there were many times that she wanted to leave TNA, and Angelina wouldn't let her. But there were also the bad times, when she felt subservient to Angelina, and that, you know, Angelina thought Velvet was beneath her. Angelina says that if people saw her as the leader of the group, it was because she was the veteran, and, you know, Velvet accomplished a lot while she was gone. Angelina says that one is a very lonely number, and she knows that Velvet and all of the peoples want this to happen.
But
Velvet says that while she always saw Angelina as her big sister and thought all the tough stuff was Saban, she realized that there are very few people in this business that you can trust. And, well, the beautiful people are back.
Yay! Beautiful people. Beautiful people.
The music plays and they strut, but Angelina says now that the beautiful people are back together, there's a third piece of the puzzle that's missing, and she calls out Madison Rayne.
Before you continue, Taz had the great line. Sit down, Mike. When she said that, sit down, Mike.
Madison uses her own music, so you know something's up. Angelina says that they're on a roll here, that they're putting the beautiful people back together, and she was a member at one time, so the offer is extended to her as well. Madison asks Angelina to say it one more time. As you know, Angelina said, Angelina Love! Velvet Sky! And Madison Rayne. Twice.
And the second time she said, you know, you, Madison Rayne.
Madison Rayne. Madison says that's the problem. Angelina still looks at her like the little girl she and Velvet led into the beautiful people. Angelina says that it's like any sport where you have to pay your dues when you're new, and Madison asks if the big elaborate thrones they sat in while making her sit on the floor was her paying her dues. She tells Velvet she loves her and more power to her if she wants to make, if this is what's going to make her happy. But Madison's a knockouts champion, and she's not doing it, so she's out. Literally, she walks off.
She did. I just, you know, mentioning the chairs and stuff, I remember that stuff was gold.
You know, honestly, I'm not surprised that they're bringing back the beautiful people, just because it was one of the best things TNA has ever done.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the great gimmicks of all time in TNA. You can't, no one can deny how awesome they were. They were tremendous. They had a great run.
And speaking of gimmick infringement, it got ripped off by a certain someone else.
Gimmick infringement.
Lay cool.
Holla.
But yeah, this was... So I'm not surprised, but, you know, it's something of, I don't know if this run is going to be as good as it, as the original run. Just because the original run was so organic.
And something seems fishy about this one.
Yeah, it's like it's Angelina Love is like she's coming back. Because, you know, she and Velvet, they left on bad terms.
Right. So and she's trying to make amends, as it were.
But, well, is that going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to see.
But anyway, moving on, we're backstage again, and Magnus is telling the Mr. Cameraman that he's not concerned about Joe because he has his insurance card in Abyss. And Abyss is a monster, and he used to be afraid of him until he realized that Abyss responds to cash just like everybody else. Joe comes in, and he gets in Magnus' face. They talk trash for a little bit until, you know, the officials break it up and escort Joe away.
Joe left grumpy again.
Yeah, grumpy Joe. Okay, now you can hit your button.
No, it's not time yet.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Start talking.
What do you mean it's not?
Start talking.
You're going to do it while I'm talking. So just hit it.
No, you can't tell me when to hit the button.
Hit the button.
No, you can't tell me what to do.
I just told you what to do 5 minutes ago. Now hit the button.
But it's not time yet. Don't make me hit the button too early.
We're at the bromance match. Hit the button.
But they haven't been introduced.
Zima Ion introduced them.
But it's not time yet.
God, would you just hit the button?
Fine, fine. She wants the button. She wants to hear the horn. So here you go. Forward, hit it.
There, are you happy, King Kittens? We are up for the TNA World Tag Team title match with the Bromance versus Sonata and Tigre Uno. And the Wolves! A giant brawl broke out before the match could really start, and then they quickly got it under control as the match begins, and we are underway.
Bromance basically wanted to leave.
Pretty much, yeah.
And they got brought back by the Wolves. Just wanted to point that out. Good match, though.
Mm-hmm.
It was very enjoyable. Very enjoyable match. Though I will have a problem after we finish talking about it.
Basically, the Bromans pick up the victory with Zima Ion taking a selfie with the X Division title. So Sonata dove after Zima, and that leaves Tigre all alone with the Wolves. They nailed him with the powerbomb lung blower combo. Eddie made the cover, but the Bromans break it up and dump the Wolves on the floor. They then hit Tigre with the bro down for the win. So the Bromans pick up the victory. They keep their titles.
Alright. So my problem is, I don't like the booking of the Wolves right now. It just seems very strange. And very odd. Like, they came in with all the fanfare and stuff, and they haven't been treated as well as they should.
That's I would agree with that.
It's like, they won the tag titles, but they never held the belts on television. They lost them in a week, and it's just like, I thought we were supposed to get some more, like, the way Daniels and Kaz put them over, and it was like, we're going to get some great matches, and just, oh, they haven't hit their stride yet.
I liked it a lot when they were more of MVP's muscle.
Right.
And I thought that's the role they were going to kind of stick with, because I would have waited a while before you kind of start having them job out and really go into the division, and you have them more as MVP's enforcers, but I guess that's not what they're going to do.
Seems like there's been a change in plans.
Just a bit, so, well, I guess we'll see how, where they, you know, go from here.
Mm-hmm. By the way, anyway, hold on, before we continue. Louisville, if you don't want me to kill my tire bracket, you actually need to play well.
Oh, are they sucking?
It's 55-54.
Louisville, hit it.
Like, I have them going to the finals.
Louisville, hit it.
This game's too close for, you know, comfort.
Eh, they'll figure it out. Or they'll lose. You know, whichever comes first. If you've never watched Louisville basketball or football, that's pretty much how it goes.
They will either figure it out or they will lose. That's like every team.
Yeah, but no, you don't understand. It's like they play really well usually in the first half, and then they come back in the second half and they suck. And then it's like, oh yeah, we should probably start playing again. And somewhere in the like the latter part of the second half, they start playing well again, or they don't figure it out and they lose.
Sounds like another team I know.
Yeah, but, you know, Louisville wins on a more consistent basis after they did pick up a national championship last year. Just pointing that out. And I'm sorry, where did that other team that plays with Cals go? Oh, yeah, nowhere.
Hey, I didn't say it. I didn't say it. I was good.
You set it up, though.
And you knocked it out of the park. Hold on.
I thank you. Backstage, the beautiful people are, you know, chatting. Angelina's whining about how upset Madison was, and, you know, how everything was true. You know, Velvet suggests talking to her one-on-one because she might react differently when they're not in front of everyone. Angelina looks nervous, but she goes off to find Madison. She then comes into Madison's Reigns locker room, tries to explain how all the things she said and did way back when were things the old Angelina did, and how Madison can't blame her for that. Madison doesn't look exactly enthusiastic, but she says she'll think about it. The two then hug, while Madison rolls her eyes behind Angelina's back. And, well, she goes to walk away, but she doesn't get very far when Angelina grabs her by the hair, smashes her face into a locker, and then chokes her while yelling that the beautiful people are Velvet Sky and herself, and not to ever disrespect her again.
Girl fight.
Maybe, you know,
maybe there's something up with this Angelina love, and Velvet Sky may be in some trouble.
Maybe Angelina hasn't changed after all. Psycho!
Yeah, and Manhattan is now up 3. Louisville. With 4 minutes to go. This is going to come down to the wire.
And usually does.
And you'll hear it live on the rack.
Usually does. MVP comes up to Samoa Joe backstage, and Joe asks who he has to keep an eye on tonight besides Magnus, but MVP says not to worry, you know, because he's going to take matters into his own hands, and to set an example like a boss should, he says he will be handcuffed to Abyss tonight so Joe can concentrate on wrestling Magnus. We then get a video package for Mux where he's going to meet some girl that he dated years ago. And it never worked out. And he knows she wouldn't call him unless it was serious. And then he talks about how his family ran a carnival business and that his dad wanted him to be a part of it. But Nux wanted to wrestle and his dad never agreed with it, but that was his path.
I was confused.
Life after the Aces and Eights.
Apparently.
We need Steve! Bring back Steve!
But we got Nux. Didn't we give Nux
a... I'm okay with Nux, but I'd rather see Steve. And Wes. Damn it. Bring back Wes.
You're getting Nux.
I want Wes.
I know you want Wes. There's many reasons why you want Wes.
He looks so good in those jeans.
Oh.
Anyway, after this, we finally get to see what happened to Bully Ray, you know, in Dixie Carter's office. Basically, Bully Ray decides he's waited long enough. He bursts into Dixie's office, but, you know, the chair is turned away from the door, so Bubba basically starts telling her about how nobody in the business or at home really likes her, and how he's despised her since the day he walked into the company. Bubba then says that Dixie hates him because she can't control him, and Dixie tried to control him by offering him a ton of money, and that's why he did what he did at lockdown. Dixie basically has nobody's respect in his industry, and he'll be damned if he stands here talking to the back of her chair. So he walks over and he turns the chair around, and surprise, surprise, nobody's in it. Then all of a sudden we get a Bobby Roode. He jumps Bubba from behind and slams his face into Dixie's desk, then takes a sacrifice poster off the wall and bashes Bubba over the head with it. Roode then tells Bully that, you know, he screwed the wrong man, and Dixie didn't invite him here, he did. He repeats that you don't screw with Bobby Roode, and then yells surprise and walks off.
Good segment.
Great segment.
I love that Bully was just basically ripping into Dixie Carter. The wrestling fans despise you.
And she wasn't even there to hear it.
Right.
Tremendous.
It was a great segment.
After this, we see Magnus and Abyss backstage. Magnus asks if, you know, Abyss is ready. And Abyss says not to worry because he has something in mind for Joe and MVP. He then opens his fist and a handful of thumbtacks fall out. They then leave all cackling insidiously. We see Joe on his way to the ring, and then, well, we get your final contest of the evening, the TNA World Title match between Magnus and Joe.
Good match.
Great match.
And then we have the finish. The ref bump, MVP and Abyss brawled. MVP got officially laid out by Abyss. Then Abyss throws a chair at Joe, who was trying to dive out of the ring onto Abyss. That knocked out Joe. Joe stumbled around, fell on the ground, on the mat, rather. And then Magnus came flying off the top rope and hit a big elbow for the 1, 2, 3.
Well, it looks like we're going to have an even grumpier Joe come next week.
He didn't get his belt. He is sad. He isn't angry.
He isn't angry, so the question is, well, where does Joe go from here, and what's going to happen with MVP?
Pretty much. This show was more wrestling-heavy than last week, and there was a lot of backstage stuff as well.
But it was I would agree with that.
It was a solid show, I will say.
I enjoyed it, but like I said, it was really wrestling-heavy, so it was a little bit harder to follow.
Because there was, like, it's wrestling heavy, but there's, like, these long spans of backstage, backstage, backstage. We just roam around for a while.
Which is pretty much the standard right now.
Mm-hmm. But they could do a better job at breaking up the backstage, because when you're going backstage, 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 you kind of get lost in everything.
Right, and that's, I guess that's the price you pay for taping the way that they do.
Yeah, pretty much. So, solid edition of Impact. Two back-to-back weeks where the show has been better.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So, on that note, time to go to break?
Time to go to break. So, when we come back, we're going to be having Tweet of the Week. We've got our Question of the Night. And, of course, NXT. So, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Celebrating 10 years of WrestleTalk Radio.
You know what? As of right now, the second anniversary show of WTR Sunday Night is a curse-free edition. No foul words allowed.
Come on.
No, we're going to try this and see how long we can go without saying words like...
Dave Thirsty.
what I was thinking.
Yeah, but it worked perfectly.
That, that's a curse word.
I was
no question.
Pat Patterson, but somehow yeah. Dave came out. Oh, boy. So let's just add the word Dave, too.
Yeah, and let's do that.
Wait a second. You were going to say Pat Patterson, but Dave came out? What, did he stretch him?
I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. Well,
I got nothing.
What was that, JJ?
What was that? Dave came out of Pat Patterson? What?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out, what the hell Harmony was talking about. What is it? What is in that tube of rolled up paper that you happen to be smoking? Yes, thank you.
Okay, well, I'm going to change the subject really quick because it's getting uncomfortable up in this bitch.
Hey, no curse words.
Fuck, Tim, come on.
Well, there goes that strategy. Blown apart in 2 seconds.
Don't tell me not to cut.
Tune into the live special. Sunday night, March 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back! To Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment.
Oh, no! No! Oh, my God! Don't do this!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really moved. I said, "Chill."
Welcome back to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, but you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. And now we're going to take a little break. We're going to make that transition from TNA over to WWE again, where we're going to be talking about NXT. But before we get there, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm sure. Shore.
Should let everyone know, Louisville is up 6 with 15 seconds to go.
See? Told you they'd figure it out.
Yeah, I know you did. I know you did. Or they would lose, but, you know, they're winning.
So, anyway, I have a lot of Corey Graves, just to, you know, warn everybody.
Go for it.
So, Corey Graves, for those wondering, kendo sticks are placed under all WWE rings during setup in the event of, ninjas?
Exactly, that makes sense.
Corey Graves again, as he tweets about Total Divas, which is tremendous. If you don't watch him during Total Divas, you should. It's hilarious. Secrets are best kept when shared on national television. Seriously, is there a real medical reason of, or I'm sorry, real medical measure of piss strength? I'm curious about this. I might be good at it.
You need to learn some algebra and some calculus, and yeah, there is.
That maths thing.
The maths thing, yeah. You know, maybe you gotta get a hold of a scientist. He may be able to tell you to.
Yeah. You know, I feel like causing for a heart attack should result in a criminal charge of some sort.
No, I don't. I disagree.
And he tweeted that at Eva Marie, by the way.
Of course he did.
And let's see, is that the last one? Let's see, I got one more from him. I somehow doubt that St. Patrick ran the snakes out of Ireland so that you could dress up like Kermit the Frog and embarrass yourself today.
Okay.
Someone ironically named Lindsay, not me, replied to Nicole and Brie, who they replied to Bray Wyatt, where Nicole and Brie tweeted, "Plastic? Wow, thanks for noticing at WWE Bray Wyatt." And she replied with, "It's kind of hard not to."
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Fandango.
No, no. Fandango.
Anyway, Fandango.
Fandango.
I'm not arguing with you on this, so just shut up. You can watch Main Event on WWE Network at 8 p.m. You may just see something worth tweeting about. Josh Reddick replied, "You mean Summer?" And that's all I got.
That's good. Oh, Louisville's now up 7 with 8 seconds to go. About to be up 8. Anyway, Showtime EY goes watching Batman vs. Dracula in the dark alone. My life is sweet. Sharky Boy goes, fact, the great Muda's hashtag evil mist is what actually killed Elvis. Sharky Boy replies to Rockstar Spud. Spud, you disgust me. Can I buy you lunch? Hashtag sushi. Betty fucking White. It's Steak and BJ Day. A day to celebrate two things that are often rare. Chavo Guerrero. Question. What is better, St. Patrick's Day or Cinco de Mayo? Frankie Kazarian replied, who did St. Patrick ever beat? A few snakes? Meh. Let's see. Chris Sabin, whenever I see Jared from Subway on TV, I imagine giving him a Michinoku driver. I think we all do. BG James replied, is that what you kids are calling it nowadays? Sounds kinky.
Oh, Road Dog.
Chris Sabin replied with, bah ha ha ha. BG James replied, old people are so cute, aren't we? He replies, you're the man, one of the nicest and funniest people I've ever met. BG James replies, dang, Chris, I'm about to cry. Thank you, dude. I always love working with you. So there's a sweet tweet right there. After, you know, a little bit of ribbing involved.
Aw, they loves each other.
They do. They do. Frankie even tweeted in that conversation that he enjoyed working with them. Alright, where were we? Alright, we did the Frankie one. We did. Here we go. Not SportsCenter. Breaking. The Cavaliers have won a title. Cleveland finally has a championship. Wait. It's Virginia that won. Oh, sorry, never mind. NXT Women's Champion, the real Paige. WWE goes, at WWE Hornswoggle needs to teach me that the secret to silky, shiny hair. He did have some silky, shiny hair on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
The Ryback. So Schwarzenegger is at Raw next Monday. As long as he addresses me as the big guy and is ready to give me the Terminator role, all is good. Not SportsCenter. Report, the girl that picks winners by how cute their mascots are is projected to kick your ass in the March Madness bracket pool. Probably. Someone tweeted, Zeb Coulter, can you tell me why Dutch Mantel always lost to Jerry Lawler? He replies, I always heard Jerry was a cheating bastard. Just saying. Someone asked to Zeb, did you go to school? No. School came to me. Betty freaking White, someday, Justin Bieber songs will be on the oldie stations.
No, because we'll have them destroyed.
Not SportsCenter. Report, the Patriots proposed a rule to the competition committee that would allow anyone who touched Tom Brady to be executed on the spot. I think that one was rejected, but it was very close. Someone asked, someone asked Edge, isn't the term in wrestling never say never? Edge replied, spinal stenosis says never, and he's an asshole. Someone goes to Edge, not gonna lie, dude, I missed the long hair. Thankfully, I don't lose sleep if a dude misses my hair. Although it is 1 a.m.? Not Bill Walton. Ohio State, I could win that $1 million NCAA tournament challenge, but you're playing. The snooty Harvard elite are attempting to disenfranchise the common man once again by ripping their brackets to shreds. For shame. Not Bill Walton. This is the biggest day in North Dakota history since they first farmed wheat. So basically, it's the biggest day ever. And finally, not Bill Walton, my bracket is a mess. At this point, the NCAA should be embarrassed for creating more pathetic seeds than Kris Jenner.
Ooh!
And that is Tweet of the Week.
Burn! Damn!
Right?
Alright. Let's get to our second recap of the evening, which is, of course, NXT. Well, they started off by getting hyped.
Yes, they did.
We had Mojo Rawley, who, well, had Ron Gronkowski and friends in attendance cheering for him, which is pretty cool, taking on Bold MC.
Yeah, all right. So, my notes go, Gronk in the crown. Woo! Boo. He's a Patriot. Boo. Bull has an old-school look with his tights.
Mm-hmm.
And Mojo likes to use his ass as a weapon.
Yes, he does.
And he won with the hyperdrive. Whatever. Mojo wins! Yay!
Yes, after the match, Mojo ran into the crowd to celebrate with his fan club, including Gronkowski, who probably left with him. Because he wasn't in the match when they were... Or he wasn't in the audience later. Not that I saw.
He's big time. He can only stay for one match. That was Mojo Rawley.
Yeah. You know, this was a very solid, very good match.
Yes it was.
Nice opening contest. Mm-hmm.
We then had an interview with CJ Parker. Basically, he's going to dispose of Mojo next week, and then he's going to humanely dispose of him, I should say, and then held up a recycling can.
Yeah, basically, CJ bashed Mojo's lifestyle choices, you know, that he's the guy that buys 10 cheeseburgers and then throws the wrappers out the window, you know, and basically Mojo stays hyped on modified calories. I had a little bit of a problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have CJ saying this in a suit.
Yeah, I know. Logic. I know.
Not that he didn't look good in the suit. It was a nice suit. Don't get me wrong. It was actually a shirt and tie and I believe a vest. But still, it's like, All right, dude. If you're gonna be doing this, you shouldn't be dressed like that. Just, you know, pointing that out. But it was a nice little promo to building up to Vengeance Week, which we'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
We then see basically footage from Tyler Breeze and Xavier Woods, where Tyler attacked Woods before his match with Alexander Rusev. And then we then were supposed to get Tyler Breeze versus Sami Zayn, but
that didn't happen.
That didn't exactly happen because one Corey Graves came in and attacked Sammy.
Bastard.
Well, Sammy, right? He smashed Sammy's face into the ring post. That's just not nice.
That's not kosher.
You know, not the face, dude. Not the face.
Anything but the face.
Graves then says something to Zayn while the officials are, you know, telling Graves to back up. They then check on him and see if he can participate in the match, but, well, he can't, so Zayn is helped to the back, and Tyler Breeze just gets to stand there and look pretty, which he's very good at.
That is one thing he's very good at. That and taking selfies.
You know, they don't call him Prince Pretty for nothing.
I know. I believe he's goodness on Twitter.
Yes, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. But hey, we have a WWE superstar in our mix now.
Fella.
Sheamus. Sheamus is in town, and he's glad to be back in NXT, fella. And then Aiden English showed up.
Yes. And how, you know, he tells Sheamus that he's using the company as a stepping stone to Broadway. Sheamus looks so confused.
He's like, what are you talking about, fella?
What?
Fella? What? And then he will, you know, basically face him tonight.
Yeah, basically he made a comment about how Aiden Stones haven't fallen yet, but Sheamus says, you know, he'll talk to his buddy JBL to fix that.
And we'll get that later on in our main event of NXT.
Yes, we will. After this, we come back from the break, and Renee Young has joined the announce team.
Oh, I have notes on this, so let's go.
Okay. So you get match number two of the evening, Adam Rose. That's right, he's back with his dance crew, the Rosebuds, and he's taking on One Camacho. Go.
All right, there's a lot of flirting between Renee Young and William Regal.
Oh my god, yes.
It is very, very obvious, and it's always special. Their dancing is always special. Camacho had the early control over Rose. The fans started at one point chanting "Party Pooper" at Camacho in favor of Adam Rose. Then the announcers basically discussed throughout the match, how do we get invited to one of Adam Rose's parties? And that's like one of the things I was wondering, like, how do you actually get invited to one of those parties? So
you have to know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy.
And then you gotta slip the guy at 20. The fans were really into the Adam Rose party. The Adam Rose experience is the hashtag on Twitter. He won with his running lariat for the victory. Adam Rose continues on a roll. So the party continues.
I love how the gimmick has been on TV, what, now two times? And it's over is all get out.
Yeah. It's tremendous. It's. I don't know how far the gimmick can go and how long it will last, but for now, it's fun. It's entertaining.
I want a feud with Fandango.
That'd be fun.
I actually would pay to see that.
That would be fun. But yeah. I love William Regal and Renee Young in commentary. The two of them should just sit there and do commentary. It would be awesome.
No, because I think eventually they would, like, make out or something, and that would be weird.
Well,
because there's some flirting going on.
A lot. There was a lot.
Regal kind of digs Renee Young.
And I think Renee digs Regal back.
So, interesting. After this, we get match number three of the evening, a Divas contest with the Boss, Sasha Banks, with Charlotte and Summer on a Stick, taking on Bailey, who brought with her Natalya.
It's Bailey.
We get the TV debut of Bailey, which if you haven't seen her, she's adorable.
She is. She's awesome. I love stick figure Summer though.
It's like Summer on a Stick. It's awesome.
It is. Bayley had control over Sasha early in the match, and then mocked Sasha Banks, which was tremendous. She grabbed her glasses, did a little dance. It was awesome.
And well, Sasha wasn't going to take that lying down, so Sasha quickly took the control back.
And headband. She took Bayley's headband and little mocked her a little bit. Threw it away. Sasha took control, but in the end, Bayley rolled up Sasha and got the win.
Yeah, and they're building to something between Charlotte and Natalya.
Yeah.
Because, Charlotte tried to interfere, but Natalya protected Bayley. Charlotte then knocked Natty to the floor, and Bayley tried to check on Natty, but, had to get back in the match. And basically the finish was Sasha tried to roll Bayley up, but Bayley rolled through and got the 3 count.
Bayley! Woohoo!
And next week we find out it is Vengeance Week, where we are in fact going to see Charlotte taking on Natty, CJ Parker takes on Mojo Rawley, Tyler Breeze is facing Xavier Woods, and we get the rematch from the ladder match at NXT Arrival. That's right. All you Bo Leavers out there, get your thumbs up, because Bo Dallas will be facing the NXT champion, Adrian Neville.
All right, we got to stop our recap right here.
We have to talk about that letter.
We do. This is where I'm going to WWE.com to pull it up right now. So, if you're not aware, Bo Dallas put out a letter to all his believers. Where is it? Come on. It should be on their website, isn't it? It was. Damn it. It's not there anyway. I'll find it in a second. But yeah, he basically did an open letter to the WWE Universe, all his believers. Yeah. Bo is Bo. Yeah. It's basically the best way to sort of, to put it.
Oh my god, it's tremendous. He is cheesier than Velveeta. Like, seriously. You could just feel it coming through in his words. It's just like I'm sitting here and I was reading it at work, and I was literally trying to stifle my giggles, because it's like, oh my god, this is hilarious.
Yeah, here we go. Dear NXT Universe, I'd like to apologize to all my believers for what took place on Thursday night, February 27th, 2014. In case you missed it, Adrian Neville found a way to defeat yours truly and capture my coveted NXT Championship. I've had several weeks to digest the events of this tragic day, and if it weren't for all my loyal believers, I don't think I would have made it this far. You have truly been the wind beneath my wings. I will never forget that day as long as I live. When I looked up and saw Adrian Neville holding my championship as he stood atop that ladder, I was filled with a flood of emotions. I was sad, heartbroken, alone, and empty.
Oh, but Bo needs a hug.
Bo needs a hug. I felt like a piece of me had been ripped from my soul. Then to make matters worse, I looked and saw each and every one of you. I saw children wiping their tears away. I saw husbands consoling their wives, wives consoling their husbands, and even production crew members mourning the loss of their one and only true champion. It was in that moment that I realized a hero had fallen, and that hero was me. You know, they say a man is only as good as his accomplishments, and on February 27th, I feel like I had failed. I chose to write this letter because I've decided I can't allow myself to be a failure, and I won't allow you to have a failed hero. The desire and fire inside of me has never been stronger. I've realized that a true champion fights when the chips are down, so you can celebrate when they stand back up. To quote my longtime idol and mentor, John Cena, never get up. Never give up. I, Bo Dallas, will never give up. Believers, on this day, I proclaim to you, you will never see someone fight as hard as I'm going to fight, and you will never see someone push as hard as I'm going to push to one day once again become your NXT champion, because I'm not the only one doing this for me. I'm doing this for the universe. I love each and every one of you, and I promise to never let you down again. Sincerely, Bo. P.S. Your champion forever.
This is so corny. It's amazing.
Right?
It's nice to know that the flair for drama runs in the family.
Yeah. 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 That was a great letter by Bo.
I don't know if he actually wrote it, but whoever wrote it, that was just tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want Bo Dallas to get a blog. And we should add that they have a picture of him sitting at the computer, supposedly typing the letter, and then lovingly,
looking,
almost lustfully, staring at a picture of himself smiling with the title. It's a little creepy.
Yeah, it is. It really, really is.
So, yeah. Anyway, moving on, Bo Dallas gets his rematch for the NXT title against Adrian Neville. That should be a fun match.
So it's Vengeance Week is what they're calling it?
They're calling it Vengeance Week, yes. Because it's all rematches with grudges.
Vengeance. Hey, an old pay-per-view. It's back.
Hey, hey. Let's see, before our main event starts, Aiden English has something he wants to say. Aiden says that it seems that some of the people here know him, that this is his theater that the artist built. He's the man who's going to use this building, this ring, and this company to make his way to the brighter lights of Broadway. Sheamus then comes out and he takes the mic. And he asks if anyone thinks Aiden will make it to Broadway. The fans chant no. He says that he knows Aiden likes to sing a lot and destroy people's eardrums. Sheamus then says that when you sing in his country, it's a celebratory thing. He then has an old Irish song to share with the people at NXT. Sheamus then sings. Got the crowd into it. They were clapping along. He was having a good time. Aiden then took the mic from Sheamus mid-song and says that, you know, this is his show and his people. Sheamus then takes the mic back and he resumes the song. Aiden hits Sheamus and Sheamus goes to the floor. And the song is over. And the main event is on of Aiden English taking on Sheamus.
Yeah, Aiden got the early advantage as Sheamus chased him out of the ring and chased him back in. So Sheamus got taken down. Sheamus takes back control and then just really beat on Aiden's chest. That's where I said to Lindsay, is the battle of pale versus pale to see who is the palest of them all. I think Sheamus wants to be the only pale kid around. Aiden was able, again, to take more advantage of Sheamus on the outside, throwing him to the steps. They battled back and forth, but Sheamus was able to finally make his comeback and hit the bro kick for the W. Sheamus wins, fella.
And the fans go home happy. This was a really good show.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed like it. It was a solid hour of wrestling.
For me, it's something of, again, I wish they just had a little bit longer, because it's like they try to cram so much into that hour, and props to them for doing that, but it's like, you know, if they had, like, even just a half hour more, I think we could see a little bit more.
Right. And the one thing they need to start doing a little bit more, and this episode was a little bit better, longer competitive matches.
Yeah. Well, I think last week they just tried to fit too much in.
Right, but it's been a thing. They do a lot of squash matches. But if you want to get some guys over and really over, let them have long competitive matches like they did on the NXT Arrival special, and that's how you get them over a little bit more. And that way, when they get up to WWE TV, they'll be ready.
Yeah, and I think that will come with time because again, they're still trying to figure out the pacing and everything. And I think they're about there.
They're getting there.
But yeah, this was a good show. Very much looking forward to next week. Very eager to see what happens. Maybe we do pick 'em.
I guess. Do pick 'em really quick. What are the matches? No, I'm serious. I just closed off my notes. What are the matches? No, because I was thinking, wait, do I remember the results? And I don't. So that's a good thing.
All right, Charlotte versus Natty.
I'm going with Natty.
I'm going to go with Charlotte.
Okay.
CJ Parker versus Mojo Rawley.
Mojo.
Yeah, I'll go with Mojo. Prince Pretty takes on Xavier Woods.
Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, I'll go with Breeze as well. And Bo Dallas takes on Adrian Neville.
Neville.
I want to see Bo win. That letter just killed me.
Right.
And I want another one. We need to get Bo Dallas a blog.
Yeah, he needs a blog.
So, I think that's it for NXT, unless you've got anything else to add.
No, I'm good.
You're good? Alright, okay. Well then, question of the night.
Question of the night is, what do you think of the Daniel Bryan beatdown on Monday? And most people enjoyed it. Some words to describe it was brutal, and it was very brutal. I would agree. Very brutal. A couple people said it went on a little too long, which I can agree with. But it was really well done. As we discussed on Monday, that was a brutal beating.
Oh yeah, I would agree with that 100%. It's something of... But it almost needed to be done, because it just gave...
It added
this
so
feud a little something extra.
It was the hot angle this feud needed. We had the hot angle for Daniel Bryan, but this was the hot angle for Triple H. Triple H needed to counter the Yes Movement, and this was his counter, and it was a brutal beating on Daniel Bryan. I liked it, and yeah. I can't wait to see what they do Monday. I would hope Daniel Bryan's not wrong.
I would hope he's not on Raw just to sell it, but if he is, I'd like to see him at least bandaged up to show where he... Because they're saying, at least for storyline, that he has an injured shoulder.
So they once again re-injured that shoulder.
So it's something of now that makes Daniel Bryan an extreme underdog heading into WrestleMania. And the question now remains, will Daniel Bryan's shoulder heal in time, or will the Authority do something else to further injure it to keep him potentially out of the match?
Because as we know now, it's not only Daniel Bryan who can get into the main event, but it's Hunter who can get in there as well.
Which was a nice touch.
It was.
But yeah, I would agree, the beating was brutal. It needed to be brutal. It was because it's Hunter. It's like you don't expect anything less from Hunter when he takes someone down.
Correct. As you've referenced a couple times, it was like the Undertaker beatdown from years ago.
Yeah. And it's something of, you knew Daniel Bryan wasn't going to get away with the protest. You knew the Authority had egg on their face and they were not going to stand for that. And they made sure they responded, and they responded in proper fashion.
Oh, yes, they did.
But one of the unsung heroes we haven't discussed is Steph in this
segment. Oh, she was awesome. Her mocking of Daniel Bryan, her screaming at the top of her lungs to get him arrested. Oh, it was fantastic. She is like, last night, as we mentioned earlier in our show, we watched The Best of Raw, and you saw innocent Stephanie. Very sweet and innocent Steph. And now, as we said, a month later, the bitch came out of her, and now you can see the bitch is in full effect right now. She is at her absolute best.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's the billion-dollar princess that if you've watched long enough to have encountered her before, you know and love. Mm-hmm. Or you know and hate. But yeah, Steph is just, like, on the money right now, and she was tremendous on Monday night.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely tremendous.
Without question.
So yeah, that, like I said, I'm really looking forward to Raw on Monday just to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see kind of where they go from here. And on a side note, we should also mention that, well, the Authority weren't the only ones that got aggressive.
No, they weren't.
I told you we were going to squee over him. I'm just waiting until the end of the show to do it.
All right, talk about it.
If you missed Main Event, I suggest you go back and watch it, because, well, there was a certain dead man on the show, and unlike last year where he pretty much kept to himself, Taker's getting a little bit more physical in the fact that he kind of snuck up on Paul Heyman. He grabbed Paul Heyman by the throat, and basically he told Paul Heyman he was going to send Brock Lesnar's rotting corpse straight to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason Paul Heyman wasn't going with Brock is because Taker needs him to be the messenger boy.
Paul Heyman plays scared victim so, so well.
Especially with Taker.
Mm-hmm. Like, after Taker cuts his promo, and the only complaint is never shoot his face like they did, because it was just an awkward angle. One person commented that Heyman's bald spot and whatever patch of hair looked like Undertaker's goatee. And that's kind of true. Paul Heyman left the ring and was about, you know, Taker basically sent him on his way. And then Heyman was walking up the stage, and then Taker's music hits and all the smoke and the fire, and Heyman's like trapped.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, Heyman's standing there, he's looking for Taker to come out, and, well, Taker comes out, but it's not the way Heyman was expecting. And the look on Heyman's face when he realized Taker was behind him was just priceless. Because, like, oh, crap.
It's a good thing Paul Heyman was wearing dark pants.
Yes. Yes, it was. It's a very good thing he was wearing dark pants, because otherwise, well, he might have had an embarrassing moment or two.
Mm-hmm.
We should also point out, spoiler alert, kind of not really.
It's not a spoiler since it's never happening on TV.
But they also have done more stuff with Taker, where Taker's been working with the Wyatts.
He's been filling in for Daniel Bryan in Dark Matches the last two nights.
Yes, which I 100% approve of this.
Basically, the setup is John Cena comes out, the Wyatts come out. John Cena says, you know, basically, you know, you guys have basically ripped off a certain guy's entrance when the lights go out and you just appear. And, well, every time he says that, gong, lights go out, Taker appears.
And Bray bails.
Alright, there's one video where... where I laughed my ass off when I saw it. Lindsay laughed her ass off when she saw it. Like, they're in the ring, Taker and John Cena against the Wyatts, all three versus two. He's in the ring, they're ready to fight, and Bray pushes his boys, and Bray bails and just hightails it up the ramp.
No. That's not how it's set up. No. This is set up where it's Bray and the boys are in the ring, Cena's by himself, you hear the gong, and Taker shows up. Bray takes one look at Taker, pushes Rowan and Harper at him, and then he just goes.
That's what I said.
Not exactly. You said they were in the ring ready to fight.
Well, they were.
And then Taker showed up.
Well, yeah.
Get it right.
Well, alright, whatever.
But yeah. It's just, it's hilarious, because you literally see Bray hightail it, so I'm really, really, really kind of hoping that they're maybe going to kind of do something between the Wyatts and Taker.
Maybe.
Really hoping for it.
And one of the better, like, and before that, like, when Taker, like, comes out, you just see John Cena, like, in full, like, giddy mode.
Like, ooh, he's here!
And he's like, he spins his wheels, ooh, Taker here. Ooh, we're going to have some fun.
And you know that the Wyatts are going, holy crap, right now. Because it's like, what, they've gotten to work with Hogan. They're working Cena, and now they're they've been in the ring with Taker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Luke Harper got to take two choke slams from Taker, and at least the one that we saw, he was not gentle.
No.
He kind of spiked Harper like a football, if you can believe that. It was pretty impressive. So Taker's feeling better. You can tell he's feeling better. He's moving really well. So, he's getting more involved. So could we maybe get more Taker after WrestleMania?
We'll see.
We'll see. But on that note, I think we're done.
Mm-hmm.
So, send us out. Chill us.
And this is for Kane Kinge for doing all the work in the last month. Tomorrow afternoon, check out the Rack Extra Total Divas. We will be talking all about episode 1, giving our thoughts and opinions on the entire episode. So check it out, the Rack Extra, available this tomorrow afternoon, Friday, on Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Never know what we'll come up with. It's CB Radio. Follow CB Radio on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and on Facebook at facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it is WTR 10, 10 years of Russell Talk Radio. The show was founded by Tim Stein and a bunch of others, and it turns 10 years old, so we'll have all the news you can possibly handle, the week in wrestling, and a look back at 10 years of WTR, and I've been putting together the timeline, and we'll have a lot more details on Sunday, but yeah, there's a big timeline for that show, so check it out. WTR 10, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, this Sunday. Monday night is a Raw post show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on the second till final week before WrestleMania. Check it out. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack. I should say go to facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio and twitter.com/WTRSundayNight as well. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. As of now, no interviews, but never say never in the business. But
Business,
three syllables. Check us out. Follow us on The Rack on Twitter at WTR_The_Rack and on Facebook at facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Follow the network at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter and facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, both the network and the show. Remember, as always, listen to us on TuneIn Radio, wherever you are, by just searching Wild Talk Radio Network.
You good?
Yeah, that was a lot of plugs, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yes, once again, a big thanks to Kane Kittens for all the hard work he's done. I'm so sorry we threw that many interviews at you at once. We promise not to do it again, at least not for a little while.
Can't lie. I will throw stuff at you like that again at some point.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie for him. So, again, big thanks to him. We definitely appreciate all your hard work. You're awesome, dude, even if we give you crap on Saturday nights. But we do it out of love.
Yeah.
Just don't listen to the producer. Don't listen to the man behind the curtain. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. On my website, under the Contact Us section, is a link to my Redbubble store. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to buy my artwork, it's available for sale on my Redbubble.com store. Please go check it out. Purchase it if you feel in the mood or if you have the financial means to do so. You can also check out my artwork at Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And most of it is available for sale, including the few pieces that have actually been featured on the WWE app. And the new piece called Haunted, featuring, of course, who else? Bray Wyatt. Which happened to get swiped and then taken down, which is hilarious. You, of course, please check out this Sunday, I believe, or on the 26th of March. So it's not this weekend, but it's next weekend. I'm sorry, next week, next Wednesday, check out Cass O'Reilly on the finale of Duck Dynasty. He and his Southern All-Star Wrestling, I believe that's what it's called, will be featured on the show. So please check that out. Support him. Check out CassieRiley.net because I will throw up all the details for it probably today or not today, but tomorrow or Saturday. And of course, check out CassieRiley.net for all your Cassie Riley needs. Go to RackRadioShow.com. And please visit our very fine sponsors, TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, PWMania.com, and of course, Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Once again, a huge thanks to Mark Kruskal and Rob Schomburger. You can go check him out. Just Google him because he's everywhere.
At Rob Schomburger everywhere.
Yes, at Rob Schomburger on Twitter, RobSchomburger.com. So please go check out his artwork, and of course, if you have the financial means to buy his pretty artwork, please do so. I'm sure he would greatly appreciate it. And on that note, we're out of here, so see you next week, y'all. Bye!
www.shawnmichaelsradio.com.